The Doug Wright Show. Top newsmakers only Doug has access to. Answering questions only Doug can ask on KSL News Radio.
So good to have you along on today's Doug Wright Show here at KSL News Radio. And even though we have known for some time that President Packer was ailing, for some time now he has delivered his conference addresses while seated, it's still a shock when some of the higher leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints actually passes away. And as I got the text message from KSL and I looked at it and I went, wow, and so close to the death of Elder L. Tom Perry.
It seemed accidental at times that I was preserved in worthiness, and yet there was always a lingering, whispering, quiet feeling about being prepared, about being guided.
President Packer, dead at the age of 40, and I did not have the opportunity to interact at all with President Packer. I was never afforded that opportunity. I have had that opportunity with others in leadership positions within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but President Packer, for whatever reason, was not one of them. And so I've turned today to my friend, my colleague and associate, and also the president and CEO of the Deseret Book Company, and Sherry Dew is on the line. Sherry, thank you for taking our call this morning.
Good morning, Doug. It's a sobering, but a sobering privilege to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. Thank you.
Boy, there's something about losing two of the individuals that I feel that I grew up with, and especially with President Packer. He has been in a significant leadership position within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for such a long, long time. And I was reading in the Deseret News article that only four apostles served as general authorities longer, and that was David O. McKay, Heber J. Grant, Joseph Fielding Smith, and Wilford Woodruff, all of whom went on to be president of the church. And then fifth on that list is President Packer, who was the president of the Quorum of the Twelve. I mentioned, Sherry, that I did not have the opportunity to interact with President Packer at all. Could you give us some insights into the life and legacy of this man?
You know, there's certainly many people who've interacted with him much more than I, but I have had the privilege on many occasions through the years to associate with him, be taught by him, be counseled by him, learn from him, and even work with him, particularly in some of the publishing projects that he did with Deseret Book. And going to what you just said a minute ago, he became an apostle in 1970, so I was still in high school. So my entire adult life, Boyd K. Packer has been teaching and speaking as an apostle. And it is sobering. It's a joyous thing to think that such a righteous man has now graduated, as it were, and stepped across the veil, and it's also sobering. In terms of his, you know, he's known for his strong advocacy and defense of the family, but he's also known, particularly in his earlier years, as being a master teacher, the master of the analogy, spiritual crocodiles, and some of the other analogies that he has used through the years to teach us. So my experience with him has been that he's a straight shooter, kind, but clear. Some very important lessons that he has taught me when I have gone to him about a difficult episode or a difficult issue or wondering if I had handled something poorly. Always willing to teach. Always, always willing to teach.
Sherry, it's interesting we've had such a focus on the greatest generation now in that they are at these delicate ages. And we here at KSL have focused a great, great deal on honor flights and so on. It's interesting now that we're seeing this generation of general authorities, too, who were tempered by war, who served in the military with Elder Perry and now with Elder Packer and even President Monson. And boy, I couldn't help but kind of put that together a little bit. We're so concerned about losing this greatest generation before perhaps they have the chance to go back and see their memorial in Washington, D.C. Well, this same thing is happening within the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I've been thinking about that very thing, Doug, and I guess what I have found myself thinking is I hope that we have learned the lessons they tried to teach us. They were tutored by, as you said, war, by, in President Packer's case, by polio. Yeah. He overcame polio. You think about the different things that he has overcome and that he has seen in his life that helped him become a magnificent emissary for the Lord and a magnificent witness for the Lord, willing to speak truth at all costs, regardless of how it was accepted in public opinion. I look at someone like President Packer or Elder Perry, who also was just a magnificent defender of faith and truth, and think, boy, I hope we've learned what they've taught us.
Yeah.
Because as they step across the veil, it falls to the next generation and generations to step up. And I hope we've learned. I hope I've been paying attention.
I was touched very recently, several years ago. I've always had this image of President Packer as just no-nonsense, defender of the faith is a term, uncompromising, tell it like it is. And I was surprised, honestly, to be very candid, I was surprised at some of his hobbies and his interests and his artistic temperament. When I looked at his works of art over in the church museum, church history museum, and I looked at his love of birds, for example, I thought, I wish I'd known this a lot earlier.
Magnificent artist, absolutely gifted, both in terms of his carving. His carvings are just unbelievably intricate. And you know, he would work on a conference talk, quote unquote, a general conference talk, as he was carving a bird on his back lawn. In other words, it was a stress reliever, and I think also opened his mind to receive promptings and just to think and to ponder and to meditate. His oil paintings and other paintings, absolutely beautiful. But even though, you know, I think there's always something interesting that when someone is willing to speak strongly, sometimes we think, oh, that's a strong, stern person who doesn't have any other dimensions to the personality, and nothing could be further from the truth with President Packer. Some of the most sensitive, tender interactions I've ever had with the general authority have been with him. I think of a time when I was being criticized openly for something, and I went to him and said, what should I have done differently? And the way he counseled me was so compassionate and also very clear at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he had all of those dimensions in his personality. You may not have seen them all from the Tabernacle pulpit or the Conference Center pulpit, but he had them, and they definitely came out in his artistry. But honestly, they came out in the way he interacted with people, too.
I remember a particular conference talk several years ago now, but he talked to parents who had children that they were having difficulties with. And it was one of the most compassionate, it was one of the most understanding, it was one of the most hopeful talks that I have ever heard. I have to tell you, Sherry, I was so deeply touched. And again, usually, honestly, when President Packer would take the podium or take the microphone, I was ready for a good dose of, you know, just kind of good doctrine, solid doctrine, that uncompromising defending of the faith. But there was something about that talk that I recall to this very day. I can't quote verbatim from it, but I remember just thinking to myself, what a wonderful thing to hear from this person that is so highly regarded as being such a student of the doctrine and defender of the doctrine, to hear that kind of compassion and hope. I'll never forget that talk.
I remember it vividly, too, and I think it's really consistent with the full dimension of his service as a witness for the Lord. When you step back and look at the range of his ministry, he cared deeply about the Scriptures and had a huge impact in bringing those and encouraging all of us to immerse ourselves in those. He loved the temple. One of the most classic books, Desert Book, has ever published is The Holy Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Another classic, Teach Ye Diligently. When you start to look at the titles of the things that he would say, it seems to me, at least one of the messages I received is, he just earnestly, devotedly wanted to do anything he could to help pull the rest of us along and to help us discover for ourselves beautiful truths that would shape our lives.
The wonderful thing about the organization of the church is how well it functions, even when there are huge voids like we have had now with Elder Perry and we have had with President Packer. The First Presidency is intact. The Quorum of the Twelve is operating. It now has a head in the form of Elder Nelson. But boy, there are some big shoes and some big voids right now. And you know, who knows exactly what the timing will be if tradition holds true, perhaps this upcoming October. But boy, this is, I'm sure it's not unprecedented, but for many of us, we're just going, wow, these are big shoes to fill.
It's big shoes, and it does shake us all. It shakes us because it shakes us in terms of our hearts going out. But it doesn't. Here's the joy of for a believer in terms of a believer in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it doesn't shake our faith or our testimony because, to me, this is the happiest, easiest transition looking from the outside in because we don't have to do a campaign. We don't have to hear electioneering. We don't have to wonder, gosh, I wonder who would be the best. For a believing member, which I am, I firmly believe that the Lord has now indicated that President Nelson is the man to be the president of the Quorum of the Twelve. And it's such a beautiful relief. Anytime we lose a prophet and our hearts go out and we feel that tugging, and yet we're not worried about, gee, are we okay? Is the church okay? Because the system the Lord has put in place is so perfect and so beautiful that I have complete faith that those called to lead are those that the Lord chose, not any of us mucky-mucks down here or any of us folks trying to figure it out, that the Lord chose. And I love that, and it is a cornerstone of my faith that I hold on to and that I treasure.
I think, too, especially in the case of President Packer, after all of this long, long service and being such a stalwart and having his physical body, you know, so delicate over the last little while. It's a very common term within the LDS culture, the honorable release. I can't imagine, in every sense of that word, a more joyful and honorable release.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, again, all any of us really want is to, at some point, hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what kind of a reception that he received. And when I think about that kind of a thing, it just makes me want to do better. And I go back to an early comment and say, boy, I hope I learned what he was trying to teach us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he certainly tried.
Yeah, he certainly did. He certainly did. Sherry, thank you so much, first and foremost, for your friendship and your association. And thank you for sharing a little bit more about President Packer with the rest of us this morning.
Doug, thank you. My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Sherry Dew, who is the president and CEO of the Deseret Book Company and also, of course, served for some time in the General Relief Society presidency.